And by the grace of God, we've been looking at this better covenant with better promises and just looking at this sacrifice of Christ, you know. And one of the things that we started to see yesterday is that the blood of Christ not only cleanses our sins, but it also cleanses our consciences. And what we are speaking about is a purified conscience. And what we are saying is that, you know, when we think of the old covenant, they had to make, you know, they had to make sacrifices year after year. And you can think of when the priest, the high priest who will enter the Holy of Holies would die in that, you know, in the Holy of Holies, because either he was judged to be sinful and because of that, then a whole nation was not forgiven. You understand? And so you can imagine them crossing over into a new year and into another year and knowing that, imagine, we've not been forgiven and our sins are not covered, you know. And this really shows how, you know, how imperfect or how inadequate the old covenant was, because they had to offer these sacrifices year after year after year. And now when we look at the new covenant, and this is what we're going to read today, is going to be about how it was a sacrifice that was once and for all, and how superior that is if you compare it with the old covenant. Because you can think of how when Jesus went to the temple and he found the money changers, you know, and he found them, you know, with the animals and with the, you know, with the pigeons and with all that thing. And he asked them, and then he starts to cast them out. He beats them, you know, he overturns the tables. And then he's asked, and then he tells them that my house, it is said of me that my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of robbers. Now, the people, yes, they had all these animals, they had, even the Israelites will not want to use the Roman money, you know, to give offerings. So they'll want it converted into the shekels, you know. And so that is why there was all these money changers and all that. But then there was also because they did not want to move with animals, you know, like you can imagine someone is moving from a different town and coming all the way to Jerusalem. And instead of robbers and all that, he'd rather come with his money than buy the animal there. And then from there, then it's sacrificed. So there was this bloody, you know, that's why there's all this fountain gate, you know, where the sheep will come. And then you have the fountain gate where there's all the blood coming and the dung gate, you know, all that. There was all this mess up, or rather all these things, and one would ask, is, does your God drink all this blood, you know? And I mean, is it necessary for all the sacrifices? And you can think of how, you know, people who, you know, who serve, you know, witchcraft and who serve, you know, works of darkness, they always have to constantly be bringing a sacrifice. They'll have to bring this, they have to bring this, they have to sacrifice this animal or this thing. So there's always something that they have to give in exchange for loyalty to their deity or something like that. So, but you see, the blood of Christ, and what Christ does is that he comes and offers a sacrifice for us, and he does it once and for all. And today we're going to read Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to look at the verses there and how we're going to see how this sacrifice is offered once and for all, and what does that mean for us. Now, in verse 1, it says that, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. Now, this is what we've just been saying, that the law is a shadow. It's a copy of the good things to come and not the reality themselves. It cannot, with these same sacrifices that are offered yearly, continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. So that means that if we're aiming for perfection by the old covenant, it will never happen, even though the sacrifices are offered year by year. Verse 2, for then, will they not have ceased to be offered? And this is the question. I mean, if they would have made us perfect, then they would have stopped being offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Now think of this. It's saying that it's speaking of the differences in the purification. And this is what we talked about. We say that the old covenant could not purify their conscience, could not purify the place that hears God, because your conscience is that seat of your soul that has access to God and that God speaks to. And it's like, imagine a child that has, you know, maybe soiled themselves, or a child that has done a mistake does not have the confidence to come to approach the Father. Why? Because either they failed in school, or they did not do their homework. And so when they come with that fearful expectation of judgment or of punishment. And by that fearful expectation, they do not have freedom with the Father. But now when your conscience is cleansed, that means you can boldly come to God. You know, you can boldly come and ask. You can come to that place where you don't feel like God has remembered your sins or is holding your sins against you, because the Bible says He also purifies our consciences. And by that place, we can hear from God, we can receive from God, we can ask of God. Why? Because we are coming to Him with a conscience, you know, that is void of offense. That means that we are not, it's empty of offense towards God. That means God is not angry with us. And because the wrath of God is satisfied in Christ, in the death of Christ, then that wholeness or that purity that is accomplished for us allows us to come boldly to God. Now, verse 5, it says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will. Verse 8, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had any pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now look at this. He's saying that the old covenant was given as a shadow. It was given to show them a pattern. It was a schoolmaster, a tutor, a guard, keeping them until the faith that comes by Christ. And so we see the pattern of the old covenant representing what Christ does. And you will see that in many forms. You can think of how, you know, the scapegoat, the goat that the priest would place, you know, the sins of the people, that goat was taken outside the city gate. You know, for example, like it was allowed to leave the city gate. And that's why also Christ has to be crucified outside the city gate. You can think of how, you know, how the priest would sprinkle blood 7 times, and how Jesus Christ, you know, he lost blood in 7 places, you know, in 7 places during his crucifixion. You can think of, you know, of how he dies at the 3rd hour, you know, at 3 p.m., you know, and that is also the time of the evening sacrifice. You know, you can think of, there are so many correlations of how Jesus Christ fulfilled the old covenant and fulfilled those sacrifices that God had prescribed. Why? Because they were a shadow of the real thing. They were a shadow of the real thing, and the realities are found in Christ. But you see, God is saying that you guys, you are bringing so many bulls. You are struggling so much in bringing, you know, sheep and all this, converting the house of God into a den of robbers. You know, with all these sacrifices year and year after year, they have no capacity to purify your conscience. They have no capacity to make you perfect. What God desired was a body. What is this body? It was the body of Christ, a body that could carry the sins of all man, a perfect body, once and for all. And the Bible says that by this, he says, I have come to do your will. I have come in the volume of the book. What was the volume of the book? The volume of the book was what was written concerning the Christ, that the Messiah has to suffer, that he has to die, and after 3 days he be raised from the dead. And the Bible tells us that by him dying, he defeats the power. He defeats the one who had the power over death. And that means that the one who had the power over death no longer has that power. So Christ comes, and by this one sacrifice, he offers, you know, sanctification. By the verse 10, it says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all, you know. And we spoke about yesterday of how Jesus, I mean, the scriptures show us that he actually ascended twice. You know, like he first ascended when he met Mary Magdalene. He told her, don't cling on to me. I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that when he ascended, he entered the most holy place, not with the blood of bulls and rams, but with his own blood. He entered into the most holy of holies, and he offered the true tabernacle, which is in heaven, and he offered his blood once and for all. And you can think of how if the blood of Abel was crying out to God for justice, it was crying for revenge, it was crying, it was righteous. The Bible says the blood of Abel still speaks today. Now think of the blood of Christ. How much more does this perfect blood of this man, of this Son of God who came in flesh, died for us, of this Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth were laid, continually speak for us? And that's why it says is offered once and for all. Why? Because it was offered in eternity. That means it is offered in the realm that is timeless. So whatever that we need for forgiveness, whatever that we need for purification, whatever that we need for our purified conscience is offered eternally. And now the verse 11 says, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, remember again, it is one sacrifice, one offering offered one time. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now, it's very interesting if you look at verse 14, if you want to understand these words, it says, by one offering, he has perfected. Now, look at the use of the words perfection forever. He has perfected forever. Then it says those who are being sanctified. Now perfection and forever, that means that we are made righteous and we are made perfect forever. Eternally we are made perfect when we come and believe in Christ, when we come. But then he says those who are being sanctified. Now what is sanctification? Is a continually process of being cleansed, purified, and being made and being renewed in the image of God. That means, yes, to God, we are perfected once. We are perfected forever. But daily, as we continually live this life, he is continually cleansing us and washing us and sanctifying us and continually making us holy before him. That means the impurities that may be appearing from time to time in us are continually being revealed and being washed. That's why Jesus told his disciples, you are already clean. You are cleansed by the word. You are already clean because of the word that I speak to you. So each and every time we come and sit under the ministry of the word of God, that is the true word of God that is coming to teach us the new creation realities, the new covenant, that word in itself cleanses us and purifies us and sanctifies us. To God, yes, we are made perfect, but then we are constantly being sanctified. And then just to carry on, it says, verse 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, that the Lord, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them, in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission of this, where there is forgiveness of this, there is no longer an offering for sin. So, now that we know this, the Bible tells us, verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as in them is the manner of some, but encouraging, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries of God or the enemies of God. Anyway, I'll pause there. We can look at this tomorrow, God allowing us that. I mean, what is the effect of what should we do now that we have this understanding? But in short, what we are saying is this. God has offered this sacrifice once and for all. It is perfect. He has perfected us forever. We are perfected eternally. In our on earth, we are continually being sanctified. We are continually being made holy. We are continually being made. We are being purified. Our hearts are being sprinkled. Are being washed. The word is cleansing us. The word is cleansing us. And God is saying, now that you know that to God he has made you perfect, now that you know that he has given you his forgiveness, he has made you holy, then he says, can you now enter boldly yourself? He says, now we can enter the most holy of places. Remember, in the old covenant, only the priest could enter. Now, in the new covenant, Christ enters for us. And then he also now says, now you can enter through his body. You can enter through his veil, which is his body. And when you can enter, then you can have access to God. And when you have access to God, then you can boldly receive from him. You can boldly ask. You can boldly do whatever is needed. You can stir up love and good works. Why? Because you are the beloved of God. This sacrifice is offered once and for all, and that's where we are warned now that you know this. It is not for you to sin willfully. Why? Because if you sin willfully, what happens is that there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but only a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation. Now someone will say, oh, so my sins are forgiven eternally. Yes. But then, if your conscience is purified, if you are pure, if you are born again, then you're not going to say, oh, now I can freely sin. No, then you're still impure. That's why we looked at Titus 1:15-16. It says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are not, to the unbelieving and those who are impure, their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions deny him. Our actions prove that we know God, that we have believed him, and to the pure, all things are pure. I'll stop there, my brother. You are welcome.
Thank you, brother. I think the main verse that touched me was that he has purposes forever those who are being sanctified.
Yes.
That's very powerful verse, because that brings that we are justified before God.
Yeah.
You know, forever. While our sanctification is still a continual process.
Mm. Amen. Yes, consanctification is a continuous process, and we let's always just sit at his feet, sit by the word, and whatever it is the Holy Spirit that brings to our memory that we have failed him, where we have fallen short, that God is able to cleanse if we confess our sin. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the cleansing that comes from your word. The cleansing that tells us that you have paid the price for us once and for all, and you are continually sanctifying us. You're continually making us holy before you, making us, you're removing the impurities. I pray for your children that have heard this word, O God, them that know you, them that desire to know you, that, Lord, in your mercy, you show them mercy, O God. In your mercy, you release your forgiveness, you release your grace, O God. And I pray for your hand to watch over us, to guide us, to teach us your ways, to continually open up us to revelation, to understanding, to see the better things that you have prepared for us in this covenant, O God. And that, Lord, may we walk in this new covenant realities, O God. May we experience favor in our day-to-day work. May we experience insight, wisdom, supernatural understanding. May doors open for us. May our names be spoken in the right places, O God, because, Father, you have fought for us, O God. And we know without a shadow of doubt that all things work together for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Remember your servants. Remember the children that are unwell, O God. We pray for healing, O God. We pray for divine touch, O God. Your hand, your power, your presence over the church, O God, and over everyone that is in this land, O God, to the praise and honor of your holy name. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shalom.
Amen.
Blessed day, my brother. Bye-bye.
Same to you, brother. Bye-bye.
Bye.